This episode is brought to you by HP. When you're working apart from your team, feeling connected can be a challenge. Presenting HP Presence, a more thoughtful, human collaboration technology. With enhanced audio and video features, you can experience more genuine collaboration and feel more connected. Be in the room, from any room, with HP Presence. Learn more at hp.com/presence.
Roark Honda has a tracking process in which you receive your vehicle in a timely manner. Once the perfect CRV, HRV, or other vehicle is selected and ordered, the reliable rep will continuously track its whereabouts to keep you updated.
And if that isn't elite customer service, what is? So visit Roark.com for all of your vehicle needs. And now we start the Ajaga podcast from...
Go B, go B.
The music noted Ben Avon.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
All right, so this is the Jagoff Podcast, and if you're listening for the very first time, we ask that you subscribe to it. If you're on iTunes, we ask that you leave a nice note. Don't leave anything cranky. Send that to us directly. We're used to it from our families. But yeah, we ask that you subscribe to it. You can subscribe to it on the Odyssey app, which is through our friends at KDKA and 100.7, Y108, and 93.7 The Fan. Or you could just go wherever you get podcasts at this point.
Which is fine, but like we said, definitely check out the Odyssey app, because we've been hearing a lot lately that they have been playing the Hey, It's John and Rachel stuff on the radio. So definitely check that out. And while we're talking about being on the radio, in case you didn't know, John and I are on the drive home on Kelly on air on 100.7 Star every day at 4:55, where we deliver the talk of the town. And they were quite interesting this week. I will be honest with you, Pittsburgh is a little bit boring right now. January has been a little bit of a dead month, but it's been giving us the chance to kind of talk about unique other things than just events that are happening, which we love to do anyway. And then what happens on Fridays?
And then on Fridays, with Elista at 10:55 or whenever she has time for us, but usually 10:55.
Or if we're not late. Yeah.
Right, it's the Jagoff of the Week. And Elista picks one of the blogs from out the week, because you know we point out Jagoffs. People that are embarrassing the rest of us Pittsburghers doing good things, we point them out on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Yeah. So, and obviously, shout out to Larry Richard. He has us on quite a bit just to talk about current events. And little rumor we're going to tease a little bit. We are going to be on Y108 also doing some Jagoff stuff. So we're excited about that. Talk about, though, the Jagoff of the Week. Who reached out to you?
Who reached out to me for the Jagoff of the Week?
No, our favorite Mexican place.
Oh, was that the... Yes, yes, okay.
Through Instagram.
Right. So last week's Jagoff of the Week was something I wrote because I went to the grocery store. I like tortilla chips and I like them to be big, so when I pick them up in the bag and put them on the cash register line, I want them to stay big. Well, the person at the cash register line clearly were mad at their spouse or their significant other or their kids, because she went and threw them down. By the time I got them home, I had little chips. I had like chips the size of fingernails. So she took her aggressions out on my tortilla chips.
So John writes a blog post about it.
Right, and said, I need some help. And
Emiliano's was like, oh my God, I like basically can't even read this. Please let us help you. So I don't know what's about to happen, but hopefully
I think we're about to get a life's dose of salsa and chips from Emiliano's.
So, that's not true at all. All right, so here we are at the music note. We're really excited about our guests. We're always excited about our guests because Tracy does a great job of contacting those in our bullpen. But we are going to talk to, I'll say the names because I actually got it right this time.
But it's Chris, not Jeffrey.
It's not Jeffrey or Jonathan. It's not a J at all. It's Christopher and Megan. And the coolest part about coming here is we know Ben Avon pretty well. We've been, in fact, Steve Gregory, a very good friend of ours, is a real estate agent next door. So that was kind of, that's how Pittsburgh works, right? Like this
everybody
is where such and such is. Yeah. And we've certainly gone to the coffee place a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Anchor and Anvil. So there you go. So here we are in Ben Avon. We want to know your story because you walk in. It's a little bit like, oh, okay, there's some really unique instruments. My favorite, the harp behind you. And we heard you on your last lesson with a young lady who was singing by the piano.
That was her second lesson ever.
Whoa. Yeah, well, and you're either a miracle worker or she has some pipes that you can't wait to enhance a little bit more. Or it's a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both.
So welcome to the podcast. Talk to us a little bit about how did this start? I heard you say you live in Cranberry, but you come here.
I live in Cranberry Township. It takes me just about 20 minutes to get there. It's not very long. Just hop on the highway and you're here.
Sure. Why this location, though?
Because it's centrally located and there's also no other music businesses down in this area.
Really? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Would there be a fair amount of walking clients that could come here from
Bennett? This is another thing why I picked this location. I sat here before I opened the location. I opened in April of this past year. And I sat down here because we were thinking about opening, where I was going to open, what was going to happen. And so I came out and hung around the neighborhood for a couple days. And I sat here during lunch hour one time and I had over 200 people walk in front of the building. And I was like, oh, there's a lot of foot traffic. That's a good deal. So we opened up and every day, this is a very walking neighborhood. People walk their dogs. People go on family walks. People, you know, their children walk. It's a very safe neighborhood. The bus stop is right at the end of the street here. So the kids walk by us all the time. So constant foot traffic. And that is one of our big things. And that's why I also like to have the windows in the front.
I do love the windows. Yeah, I noticed that right away.
We change the windows, you know, once every month and a half, and we put different instruments in them. We make different displays to try and attract people.
Was going to be my next question, but go ahead. I'm sure because I'll monopolize this.
No. Yeah. So let's go big or go home because we
go big or go home. Do you know the song? Go big or go home.
I love the fact that looking at your website, this isn't just like you come and learn how to play guitar.
No.
You know, this is everything. Percussion, is everything. Wind instruments, voice. And, I mean, Megan's playing the clarinet here, so what led you to this?
Well,
I saw online that you do music at church.
Did music at church.
Yeah, and what started your music career? Take us then to church. Not like take us to church, but we got it. And then tell us how we get to having all the instruments here.
Well, I always had a love for music, and I studied it as a kid, and then I went to college at West Virginia University and studied there with many fabulous teachers. I was an assistant at a church for a very long time at St. Francis de Sales in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Oh my gosh, I went to St. Francis de Sales
in
McKees Rocks.
I'm
almost panicked right there. Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
And then I moved around for a while and played different church jobs in different places, and I decided I wanted to open my own music studio one day, and I started saving my money, and eventually it worked out. I was able to do it during the pandemic of all times.
Yeah, right.
I was able to use my stimulus checks, and, you know, people were very helpful and, you know, gave a lot and supported this endeavor.
That's amazing. And so I want to get into the instruments because I think this is an obvious question, and I'm going to shift it to Megan. I feel like, and my kids go to North Hills, and, you know, North Hills has really been known, fortunately, boastfully, you know, for their band, specifically for their band program. And a lot of the kids in the middle school, you know, they have to choose an instrument in which they play, which I love. You know, I love that not all schools are like that. I swear, like, everyone and their mother plays the clarinet. What is it about the clarinet? And I'll tell you what's funny is my daughter, when it was her turn, she said, I think I'm going to play. I was like, I know the clarinet. And I said, pick something else because everybody plays the clarinet. She chose the cello. But nonetheless, why the clarinet? It seems so popular and you play it beautifully. What is it about that instrument?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love it. And I've played since I was 8 years old. So well over 35 years now. And it's been so much fun to get to learn and to study and to now teach.
Is it an easier instrument? Is that why people kind of go to that? Or is it the sound that it makes?
I think it's a little combination of both.
Okay.
Certainly the sound, as you heard, is a really rich, warm kind of a tone to it.
As far as it being easy, it depends on who you are.
That's very true.
Sure.
Very true.
Yeah.
I think for younger students, too, with the clarinet, they're able to hold it easier.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
When you think about students on a saxophone, their hands are just too small for them to be really successful.
Right.
But the nice part with a wind instrument is once you learn one, it transfers to all
sure.
of them really easily.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So clarinet's a good starting one.
Okay. What else do you play?
All of them.
oh, please. Here we go. Megan's name an instrument, any instrument.
This is make John and Rachel feel inadequate hour.
They're not cultural. Yeah.
No, I have my undergrad degrees in clarinet performance.
Okay.
But I also did music education at the University of Connecticut in Storrs.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Really fun. You know, I taught K-12 music for 7 years myself. So lots of fun.
You can tell you guys love it. I think that's the beauty of it. If you don't love something, I always say that, if you don't love something, it's just not going to show through. And you can honestly see that that's, you know, what the deal is here. What made Megan come here? Do you want to take that one?
Well, she contacted me. She was looking for performance opportunities and said, do you have like a woodwind quintet? And I was like, well, we can start one. We certainly have enough
okay,
talent
yeah.
to do that. And so we started one and off to the races they went.
And so now the wind quartet sits in the window.
No,
for people to walk by and say, I think I want to learn how to be in a wind quartet. That's great.
But they rehearse. You rehearse on Monday nights.
Monday evening.
From 7 to 8. And they're just really great.
Oh, that's
people.
Wonderful. So yeah. You teach here as well.
I do.
Okay. How many students do you have?
I only have a handful right now.
Okay.
She's also our substitute teacher. So if somebody gets COVID or somebody gets sick, or we have a lot of active performers here, she comes in and she's able to substitute for them and make sure the lessons
okay.
happen.
So now is the time I have to ask this. So you have how many students here right now?
We have quite a few hundred students.
Quite a few hundred.
Yeah.
He opened in April.
We have, well, we also have like Mommy and Me classes. So our classes from birth to death. So there we cover everyone. So we have Mommy and Me classes that cover from age 0 to 5, and they meet on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. We teach every instrument. We even have a
Wait, before you go on, Mommy and Me. So you say 0 to 5. How? Explain that, because when you're not one, is it just for them to get used to the sound of music?
No, we work on big concepts. Like, you have fine motor skills and you have like large motor skills. So we work on large motor skills with the babies. And one of the things we do is develop a beat. And one of the things, that's the first thing we've established with them. And that's the thing we've worked on since April, is just playing the beat, whether it's playing body percussion, playing on the drums, or playing it on the sticks. And we do a lot of movement with them as well. One of the things we even did in Mommy and Me class today is we did the Pout Pout Fish book. And so they had the sticks, and you know, it's a repetitive book that goes, I'm a pout pout fish with a pout pout face, and I spread the dreary wearies all over the place. And they have to be able to play their instrument whenever I was tapping. And we teach that to the first, and we practice it with them. And we do a variety of activities. Classes are about a half an hour, and we start out, we have songs that we sing every week. You know, we play instruments, different instruments in every class. So we always play the shakers. Sometimes we play the triangles. We play the drums. We play the boom whackers. We also have guest teachers come in and, you know, play their, I think Megan's done it. They come in and play their instruments so the kids are exposed to it, so they see what other instruments are available when they're older. I play piano for them every week. That's one of the things that we did today. Like, I hand out a scarf. And they have to move and create movement, because kids are very creative.
Sure.
We let them be creative, and I play the song, and whenever the music stops, they have to freeze. And so it just teaches them listening skills as
well. Wow, is that smart?
And we're also teaching them life skills, like clean up.
Oh, yeah,
one
yeah.
One of the things they have to do is clean up.
And the parents are happy. That's part of the mommy. I love it. That is just so smart to me, because, you know, as things change and evolve, even, you know, if I see his daughter just had a baby, and I think, oh, my gosh. You know, 100 years ago was my last one, and we didn't have this, and we didn't do this. Mm-hmm. That is really smart, because you're so right. We've heard a million times Baby Einstein being played,
right.
You know, while the baby's in utero is the perfect thing. So this is like the next, that's brilliant. Isn't that brilliant?
It is brilliant. And so as you guys, I'll ask either of you the same question is, what do you see trending at this point? Like Rachel was talking about the clarinet, and is there something unique that everybody's coming in to find because
everything.
Of current music?
It's everything. We have a huge rush of piano students right now. We just had to hire somebody else because everybody was
full. Oh, wow.
We also have, which is very unusual, a lot of oboe students right now as well. Oboes are one of the most rare instruments, but we have a ton of oboe students right now.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah,
and so you offered oboe training, or someone came in and looked for?
No, we've offered all instruments since we opened. We even have somebody that will teach the bagpipes if somebody's so inclined to do that.
Oh, we need to do that.
Before St. Patrick's
we
Day.
We need to do that on a Jagged Around video for sure.
Go big or go.
Go B?
Yeah.
All right. I know. So then what happens as far as people signing up here? Did they sign up for like a tester class, 8 or 6 classes, or how do you do that?
We just register them for private lessons. If they're coming for private lessons, they come in and they meet their teacher. We, you know, we have all the books, the music, and stuff here. If they need help finding an instrument, we help them do that. And then they just get started. For as far as classes, like our Mommy and Me classes, they can just drop in whenever they need to.
Okay.
They all register online. That way, you know, if there's a snow day or something like that, or, you know, we have been very fortunate. We haven't had any COVID outbreaks, so we haven't had to worry about that.
Yeah.
We're very careful. We have a clean air system and all of that in place. And we sanitize everything between every lesson. We're very, very careful about it. And, you know, so far we've been good.
Boy, now, do you notice that people, as I talked about North Hills even, so once, you know, for I can only speak to our program, but once the kids are done from middle school, they either drop off and say, okay, I did my due diligence for music. But fortunately, some of them stick to it. Do you get kids who are coming in because they need help for auditions?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
We are also one of Pittsburgh's few. I don't think there's anybody else, but I won't say. You know.
Yeah.
You never know if there's somebody else.
Sure.
We are a competitive music studio. So right now we competed last year in the International Youth Music Competitions, which competed internationally. So there were people from other countries. There were thousands of entries.
Oh, wow.
We won first, second, and third place in the studio.
Go Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Wow.
You should hear some of those vocalists.
I can only imagine. Well, like I said, even coming in and hearing that, how old is the girl?
She's 7.
No way.
But my 12-year-old won third place overall in an international competition.
How young is too young to try to figure this out? You know,
we take them whenever.
Yeah.
Well, 0 to 5 is the mommy.
Well, I mean, for the singing part, you know.
The singing part, I like them to be able to read enough to, you know, get started because there's certain words and things.
And then there's always the mom and dad who think their kids should be a singer, right? Mm-hmm. And you help them, but they're like...
We don't really have many people like that.
Okay.
We don't. You know, everybody's real supportive, and everybody who's come has said, you know, we just want them to try it. We want them to enjoy it.
Yeah.
We want them to figure out their own path,
right.
And that's what we do. And, you know, if singing isn't right for somebody but they have a good ear, I'll be like, I think you should try an instrument. And a lot of people have started that way, and they've gone on to play... you know, the saxophone or whatever, and they've really enjoyed it. And they've taken lessons and they're excelling.
That's awesome.
So that's a good point, yeah.
We can always, if they come and they want to do something or they don't know what they want to do, we can always start and help them figure it out. That's easy to do.
We used to sneak up into my grandmother's attic and there was a trombone up there. And we thought, there are no notes on this. It's so easy. Right?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. I was thinking, don't go gadget arms, right?
Right. But Megan, I want to go back to you teach saxophone. Like, saxophone is one of my, anytime I hear a song, it's 20 times better when it has a saxophone in it to me. Right? And so can you explain a little bit about how the saxophone, there's B flat sax or something like that. I'm a complete fool when I'm asking this question. I'm admitting that. But can you talk about the differences in the saxophones?
Absolutely. So generally speaking, the bigger the instrument, the lower it sounds.
So
when you look at the baritone saxophone, it's this giant, it's got big curves in it. That one's going to be really low sounding. Okay. And then as you get up, like the alto saxophone you're talking about is in the key of E flat.
Okay.
The one that Kenny G plays. So we all know Kenny G, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So he plays what's called the soprano saxophone, and that's actually in the same key as the clarinet is. It's in B flat.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
I feel like I need to take saxophone lessons, but I don't think the people.
Down.
I don't think the people in my apartment building would appreciate it.
Our lessons are $30 for a lesson.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it by hour?
It's for a half an hour.
Half an hour.
Okay.
And then at the hour, if you want an hour rate, which beginning students usually just start with a half an hour, but at an hour we give you a $10 discount, so it's $50.
Okay,
and then our Mommy and Me classes, all our ensembles, we have ensembles for adults too, and all of them are $15.
I was just going to say, do you have to have an and me? Can it just be Mommy?
It can just be Mommy. We have several opportunities.
I know a baby you can rent.
I know. Well, I don't know.
We have several opportunities for adults as well. You know, we have a handbell choir here, a community handbell choir. We've been very fortunate to acquire 5 octaves of Schomburg handbells, and I have some of them sitting here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't know how I wanted to segue. Like,
our biggest one is a C3. We just got.
You know what? I thought it was a C5.
Oh, yeah. If you're listening.
We have a C5.
If you're listening to the podcast, he is holding this bell that's bigger than his head, actually, at this
quite
point.
A handle.
Yeah.
It weighs about 8 pounds.
Okay.
So I'll ring it, then I'll pass it to you guys, and you can try it.
Do it.
The only thing is that we don't touch the metal.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
That's not what I thought it was going to say.
I feel like it's Easter at church.
This is a Schomburg handbell. Here you go.
That's what I thought it was. Listen, in all seriousness, John, he's not mechanically inclined at all. And when we're at Rourke, at any of our Rourkes, we'll go, that's a 6X1.
Now you want to wrap your hand all the way around it.
Yep. There you go.
There you go.
I'll hold this for you. I'll hold the mic.
We want to make sure your thumb goes all the way around, too.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
And then you don't want to touch any of the metal because that will inhibit the sound. And you want to cock your wrist back like this because that's going to make that clapper inside the bell. It's going to make it swing back And then you're going to want to snap your wrist up. So no, you have to do it pretty hard. No. There you go.
Tennis elbow acting.
Oh, my God. Go.
That is an amazing sound. In all seriousness.
All right. I'm going to try it.
Okay. I'll hold your... It is heavier. Oh, yeah. That doesn't even feel like 8 pounds, to be
honest. Got a smaller version of the same handle here.
Okay.
It's
you did it really well.
This is our
I think because I went first. Okay.
This is our B-flat 5. You'll have an easier time with this one.
Yeah.
They're all church-like. I mean, for sure, because...
Actually, handbells came to the United States through the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Fun really? Fact. Yeah. Look at that.
I didn't know that either.
It came through...
And you just hold this one.
And you want to wrap your hand all the way around. See, you've got your... There you go.
So the handle is really not... It's just
you have a hand guard at the top. That's you can see that your thumb is next to that right now. And that's kind of the point where the bell is weighted so that it will go back and forth easily.
There you go.
Isn't that pretty?
That was good, yeah.
Rachel playing the bells.
We also have here silver melody bells. They sound totally different, so they can highlight melodies and things in our music.
Sounds similar to that, though.
A little bit.
So is the structure of it being more rounded, like lampshady?
Yeah, it changes.
Why it's changing the sound?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to double it up. Give me a three. Give me a drop a three, John.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's definitely a technique to that.
There is a technique.
I don't know that I ever... I mean, I watched people do it, but I don't know that I had a...
You've never had the opportunity to
do it? Yeah, the opportunity to do it or the understanding of the technique.
We also have Whitechapel handbells. Now, these are from England, and this bell, Whitechapel Bell Foundry was the original crew. And they're the ones who made the bells in Big Ben. And these bells are from that same time period.
Oh, wow.
I've been around handbells my entire life. And there are markings on the bells. And I was asking everybody, what does this marking mean? I've never seen it before. And nobody knew. And so finally, one of my colleagues suggested that I write the Whitechapel Company. And I did. And they said these bells were made. And that marking is mean they're made from the same time and the same materials that the bells in Big Ben were made. Mm-hmm. So these are very old.
Yeah. Get out.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have known that had you not...
I wouldn't have known that. And I've been around... I've played handbells for about 25 years. So...
How do you get into something like handbells?
Oh, just... There's different programs.
Church.
There's school
programs. I mean, really, that's where... It's church at Christmas time, seems like. That's the classic.
Bells are not always just for Christmas time. They're for all the time.
Sure, yeah.
So there's a big...
Oh, there you go.
A big need.
Demand, yeah, for sure. What's this one?
And then this is a hand chime. My teacher always said it sounds like E.T. come home.
Oh. And it kind of lingers.
It does.
It actually reminds me of like the when you're changing classes. Do you touch this at all?
You want to wrap your hand all the way around, just like the bell.
But on this, though?
No, you want to put it all the way around. That's just the nameplate so you can see what pitch
it almost
you have.
Looked like you were supposed to kind of...
There you go.
It does. It's time to change classes.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That is awesome.
That's
so do you have
cool.
people who just do that? Or is that like a technique?
We have a handbell choir here, and they just started. Sure. A lot of them have never read music before. So it's one of the ways that, you know, people who want to play an instrument that don't, you know, necessarily have the money, or they don't want to do an instrument by themselves. They want to be part of a group, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons that they can join that. We even have a handbell choir that we just started for children.
That's amazing. Do you teach reading music?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It all goes in conjunction
because not
with playing
all,
an instrument.
Because not all teachers do that. Did you know
instructions? No, I didn't know that.
And always include, yeah.
Wow.
We always teach that here.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, this is a big
find. We'll be
find.
Coming back. We're going to be in one of these
Tracy
choirs.
Texted us this morning and said, your guys are going to probably say, how did Tracy find us? And she's right.
She did say it. She gets a little pompous.
She's there.
We also have a singing choir here, too.
Wow. Okay.
And so anybody's welcome to join that. It's for adults.
And we should just remind, you know, Pittsburghers complain about so many things. Let's get rid of all the complaints. One, it's easy to find. Two, parking.
Right.
It's
it all.
Easy
it's,
to park.
And it's free
right.
parking.
It's right.
Free parking.
right. And there's a coffee shop next to it. There's some place to eat. You have no pits. And it's right off of Route 65.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not like you have to go out of your way. You can debunk every Pittsburgher's complaint.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome.
Where does everybody find you? Social media, internet, any of that stuff?
Facebook is a big place. People can just message us right on there, and I'm able to get back to them right away because it's hooked to my phone. People email us. They check out our website. If you just type in the music note in Ben Avon, it'll pop up on a Google search.
Okay.
People just text me. My phone number is always out there. So anyway.
We're going to be calling you because we have to get Rachel ready to go sing in a play somewhere.
Rachel.
This is her bucket list. She wants to be in a play and
when
sing in a play.
When I turned 45, I decided I wanted a new bucket list. And so I got dabbled into politics in my 40s. Like, I'm just on a school board. Mm-hmm. But okay. Still, like, that's enough. And now I'm like, I need to be in a play. So they're working on what that's going to be. So
we're going to have you train her for that.
Did you want to see the harp too, Rachel? I know you've been saying this is my favorite.
Yes.
Now,
Julia Scott is our harp teacher here. And Julia studied harp with Mildred, I think it's Dilling is her last name. And Mildred was a very famous harp player. She played at the White House 7 times in her life. And then,
where is she from?
Julia's from Pittsburgh. I don't know where her teacher was from. I think she was from Southern West Virginia.
Wow.
And Julia is a very famous harpist. She teaches at Grove City College, but she has also played with Andrew Bocelli.
Taking notes. Oh,
and
wow.
She's played with several famous people. She's a very sought after harpist.
Well, we need to seek her out for our podcast.
She's taught me a little bit of what to tell people, so I'll tell you what she did. And
yes.
Julia, if you're watching, if I mess something up, don't kill me.
Do you need us to hold your microphone? For
you could do that. That'd be great.
Okay, guys. So if you're listening to the podcast, he is walking over to this harp that's about as tall as him, and he's bringing. It actually looks pretty light, I guess. Oh, you're gonna make Rachel play it? What?
Finally, it's my turn.
I'm always letting the people do what they want to do. So you want to clear out your hands and your lap and all that stuff. Just you're going to want to stay in your seat. You're going to stay in your seat. So you want to come up to the harp a little bit. Okay. So one of the things Julia has taught me is to tell people that you're not going to balance the harp. The harp balances itself.
Okay.
You should feel no more than this much pressure, which is probably just like a couple ounces, right?
Yeah.
If you're feeling too much pressure, you're not holding on to the harp right.
Okay.
So you're going to open your legs.
Okay.
And it's going to balance just right in. So it's not against your shoulder, it's against your leg.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now we have different notes. I'm just going to teach you what the red ones are. The red one is C. So you're going to take your hand and you're going to cup it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you want your fingers to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to tip it like so.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to pluck the string and you want to pluck it toward the middle. And you want to let it bounce off so that you get the resonation of the string.
You guys ready?
You did it!
Nice!
You did it! And now this is a lever harp. So if you come up here and you find where the string is attached, you can put it up. And this is like going to the black key on the piano. Now play that same C again.
Okay.
So you hear how it changed the pitch.
So if I were playing it, would I be using both hands and...
You usually set that before you play the song.
Got it.
There are other harps that are available that are pedal harps that you would be pushing down the pedal, and that would change the notes for you. Julia has some that she brings.
Wow.
So if you want to do the famous harp thing, this is called a glissando. You take your finger and you just run it all the way up the harp.
Come on, Rach.
Let's make a boomerang.
One more time, John.
Now go nice and slow like you're on the beach. Come on.
Yeah, go to the slow.
Go slow.
I don't want the beach.
Come on, heaven. Think heaven.
That was fun.
Nice.
You guys, that was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just a little bit. Like I said, we teach all instruments here, and anybody's welcome at any time.
You know what's really nice is Tracy does everything John wants, so we're always doing interactive things for John. No, he doesn't.
I do want to try it.
I'm crying out loud.
You can tell he's very, very nice. He's a nicer person than you are right now.
Okay. I don't want to get on your wires.
Oh, right,
because it'll make the harp fall.
He's like, John, work with me. Rachel is easier.
I don't want this expensive harp to fall and break.
Right.
So you're
going
to tip it against your leg.
Okay.
And then you have... So you're going to put your fingers together. Now put your fingers together like this.
John, please.
And then turn this way. And then you're going to pluck it toward your hand.
Okay.
There you go. And you want to let it bounce.
John, he didn't say play every red string.
And then you can do the glissando like we did with Rachel.
You are good at it. All right.
I am not. I am not. There you go.
You did better than me on that one.
Wow. That is so awesome.
Wow. You guys, I love this. I'm so glad that, once again, watch your foot, Tracy found this place. We do have a coveted question of the day. So if you want to just sit real quickly, we can ask you that. But this is like the third hidden gem. It's like a theme this month, John, of hidden gem locations in the city of Pittsburgh. So here we are in Ben Avon. What is the Pittsburgh staple, like the place that you have never been and you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I have never been to dot, dot, dot. And I'll tell you why I asked that.
So a place that I have never been.
Yeah, somewhere in Pittsburgh. Like this place is one of them for us. Like, I didn't know this was here. John's was Phipps Conservatory until about 8 months ago, but he had never been there. So what's your place?
I don't know, because we perform so many places.
Oh.
How about even like a coffee shop or a restaurant?
You know, if I haven't been there, it's because I don't know it's there. That's my problem.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
This was a sudden question.
Well,
that's the way we roll, Christopher, Jonathan, Jeffrey.
I've been all three names today. I would have to say, I'm just trying to think, because, you know, we're musicians, so we're downtown at every time. And I've been we've performed at Phipps, all the museums, you know, like the Bell Choir's been to places like that. So that's hard for us to
miss. Do you have a place, Megan? Because we can jump to you and make him think.
Sure. So funny story. Okay. I'm new to Pittsburgh. I've been here for just about 2 years. My boyfriend is going through yinzification with me right now. So I've ridden the Duquesne, the inclines. We went to the Bärenhof that you were talking about.
Oh, wasn't it awesome?
It was incredible.
Amazing.
It was so great.
Yeah.
We went to Permane Brothers. So he's been showing me all the little things that make Pittsburgh so unique.
That's awesome.
We went to the Benedum Center just a few weeks ago.
Was that your first time?
It was. Oh, I've never been.
Okay. See, everybody else can play this game but you.
So I want to hear the Pittsburgh Symphony.
The Pittsburgh Symphony last time.
Oh, God, how many microphone drops can they have?
we have staff from the Pittsburgh Symphony that work here.
Okay.
Wow.
So we're there all the time. I guess if I had to say a place, it would probably be, I don't know, because we perform all over the city. I honestly don't know.
You get the feeling that Rachel's not letting off the hook.
I know. I feel like I have
Let's
to
go to commercial.
You know what? I'll name a place to eat. A place to eat. And I know I've been here, but I haven't been here in a very long time.
All right.
So is that okay?
Yeah.
The Hoff Bar House.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there a long time ago, but it's been a while.
Okay. Yeah. All right. At least he answered crying out loud.
All right.
Listen, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for having us. This was fantastic.
No problem.
All right.
So the music that you're going to hear as we go to our next guest.
So it's by Gerald Finzi. Gerald Finzi wrote the five movements. There's five called Five Bagatelles. Each movement was written in honor of one of his daughters. And so the movement we played for you was a daughter, and it was Carol.
Love it.
We just played it for our holiday concert.
This episode is brought to you by HP. When you're working apart from your team, feeling connected can be a challenge. Presenting HP Presence, a more thoughtful, human collaboration technology. With enhanced audio and video features, you can experience more genuine collaboration and feel more connected. Be in the room, from any room, with HP Presence. Learn more at hp.com/presence.
We are going to make Chris, our final guest, feel really bad because he didn't bring us a bell. He didn't bring us a cake. I mean, I brought Bellevue. Well, big deal.
He would let us try podcasting, but we've done that too, right?
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. So welcome to the podcast, The Cakery. Let's just say that, right?
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my gosh. But it's one of those stories, too, kind of like these guys were talking about. They opened their doors in April. COVID, I'm sure, as we know, we don't want to focus on COVID because we know that's right when you opened up. But we want to know the behind the scenes of what made you want to do it. Because let's think about this and in a positive way. When you think, oh, I'm really good at this, but there's so many of them, right? So even like you opened the Cakery in Westview, we already knew there was a Shores that was nearby at some point. There's places in Bellevue. But when I hear people say, oh, I got it at the Cakery, it's everywhere. And that it's so prideful because I, you know, full disclosure, live right there. But what about that? What kind of brought it on? Were you just always a good baker? Was it like, I need to do something different? What was the behind
the
scenes?
Can I double up on her question for a second? Because there's a book.
Layer it up.
I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's called The E-Myth, The Entrepreneurial Myth. And it's about this woman who baked pies as a hobby. And so everybody said, my gosh, Mary, you should bake pies and open up a bakery. And she opened up the bakery and figured out she couldn't fill the organizational chart. So it's a business book that's this hypothetical woman who loved baking pies and eventually hated making pies because of all the business side of the business, right? And knowing how, and she learned it. But is that, so were you baking cakes or were you some accountant at some place downtown and go, I hate being an accountant, I want to bake cakes?
Ironically, I was in banking for 16 years.
Okay.
He knew that.
And banking and management and all that fun stuff. But it was never my choice, so to speak. It was what I did.
Sure.
I was a single mom and, you know, this was a great job and I worked my way up and everything was great. And when I lost my job there in November 2016, I thought, well, what do I want to do? What do I really want to do? Because we never ask ourselves that. We ask, what do we have to do?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do I really want to do? And I get a lot of joy baking for people. I love whenever clients send us pictures and they're like, oh, look, she loved her cake. And it's like, that's purpose.
Yes.
That's something that I did that day. Someone smiled because of what we did and what we made and just the simple thing when Christine always says, oh, come see us again sometime.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like, it's so rewarding.
So why that area? Why Westview?
Well, Shores had closed probably, I think, 8 months prior. And actually, some of our cases we actually purchased from Jim Shore.
Okay.
You know, from that location. So it was neat. But, you know, we figured, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I live in Brighton Heights, mm-hmm. and so it was nice and close.
Where in Brighton Heights?
I live on McClure, so right near the senior center. Not that everybody knows.
John's on Terman. John lives on Terman. There you go. We won't give out addresses.
See?
It's really close, guys. It's really close.
Rachel's like, John lives somewhere. I'm not going to tell him.
Now John will be showing up at your door for pastry.
He
will. You caught on very quickly, right?
So you guys just decided to start making cakes. And I mean, you opened up, as we know, before COVID and then kind of hit the thing. But now here you are, you're making cakes and you're moving forward. And so is it the cakes? Is it the pies? And, you know, here's the one thing is everybody seems to be getting healthy, right? But I think people are still eating cakes because
you know what
I mean?
It's a rule,
like nobody ever really gives up cake. So birthday cakes for everything. Is that still a thing?
It is.
Okay.
It is. But we also make keto diabetic desserts as well. So they're sugar-free, they're wheat-free. We don't call them gluten-free because they are still made in a gluten environment. But if someone just has a sensitivity versus, you know, something like celiac, it's fine.
Sure.
You know, everybody makes their own choice, what's suitable for them. But we have all kind of good stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. Quiche, cinnamon rolls. That's my go-to breakfast, especially on Thanksgiving morning. I need the family out of my hair. I want to warm up the oven for the turkey. Pop that quiche and the pack of cinnamon rolls, and everything's made from scratch. It's homemade. Wow. So, you know, you just put that out in the dining room and you're good to go.
And how did that work? So did the two of you have recipes that you were like, you know what? We don't want to just be a bakery kind of thing. So let's do this. Is that sort of what that looked like?
Actually, well, Christine works with me.
Yes.
She and I, our kids went to school together.
Okay.
And then, you know, as Christine, of course, everybody has professional dreams that they go to. She started actually writing little jingles for us that we would do on the Bubba Show 15-second promo.
Yep.
So like our holiday jingles that we would say on there, Christine wrote.
Got it.
She actually does voiceover as well.
Okay.
So when she was looking for something new to do, and I said, hey, why don't you come work with us? And
there it is.
And she's great.
Here she is.
She's got so much patience.
Stop right here. We need to hear a jingle.
Yeah.
I think we need to hear a jingle. Oh.
Give us a jingle.
You on the spot.
Oh, I know. And now I'm like, what did I write?
We'll give you 2 minutes. Yeah. We'll give you 2 minutes. Yeah.
Think of a jingle. And it has to have the word you jag off in it. Go.
Oh, you got this.
Oh, I feel like I'm on Jimmy Fallon.
There you go. There you go.
Questlove.
What has Westview been like for you? Because, you know, here's the plus, right? We hear so often from people who are Pittsburgh transplants or Pittsburgh new to however they're going to describe it. They say Pittsburgh is just so welcoming.
Yeah.
You know, it's the people, it's this and that. We love hearing that. But what has Westview as a borough been like for you?
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been
because
amazing.
I'm sure it's beyond Westview too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, kind of like here, we have a nice walking community. We have people that come in, you know, not to bring up the dark spot of the P word.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, when that all happened, we really had to buckle down and really had to think, oh, my gosh, how are we going to stay alive here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the community is how we stayed alive. You know, people coming in and people, you know, we would do curbside deliveries and, you know, I mean, whatever we had to make sure that everybody, you know, because you still have a birthday, right?
Yes.
Right.
Still
cake. You still need cake.
You still need cake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's you know, so, true. so we just we adapted and the community just showed up.
Yeah. Wow. Now, for people who haven't been there, you know, when you hear cake, you could think like, oh, so is this a place where you go, oh, you have to try their ho-ho cake. It's to die for. Or, and is it a place where you say, hey, could you get this picture on my cake? Or is it a little bit of everything? Because every bakery is different.
Yeah, we definitely get a little bit of everything. We get a lot of people say, hey, can you make a cake that looks like this? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, absolutely. The only thing that we really don't do, we don't do full fondant covered cakes.
Okay. Mm.
My opinion, just mine, they don't taste good.
Overrated.
There's not enough icing on there. Right. And all you have is a pile of sugar. It looks beautiful.
Right.
And I know some extremely talented people.
Yes.
That just, and you go, there's no way that's cake.
Yeah.
Not knocking that at all.
No, I get it. Yeah. Because interesting enough, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this, we love Oakmont as well, right? Because Oakmont's been around for a million years. We always say like, oh, we have to grab this and whatever you want, whatever your favorite thing is. We just did a thing on the radio yesterday that they did the Roethlisberger cake and it feeds 18 and it had, and I'm reading it. It's gorgeous. And I thought, when you hear fondant, it's so true. You're like, wonder how good that is. Now, it seems like they had to double up on chocolate and vanilla icing and filling in order to kind of substitute for what the fondant. Because let's face it, you're right. Fondant isn't very tasty. Do you know what I mean?
Looks that's great. Like that.
I know. I made it. I tried to cover a cake once with fondant. And it was, there were a lot of swear words.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. What's the most difficult task you've ever been given? Was there like make this kind of cake or do this kind of thing?
There actually was. It was this, technically it was a 3-tiered cake, but then there was a beach ball on top.
Oh, wow.
And then with the little beach ball, then there were like sprays of water coming out. And I was like,
wow, who needs the water? Yeah.
I know. But it was fun.
It's not just cakes, right? What else? So you, like, Christine, you talked about quiches. And actually, I'm so glad you said that because when the pandemic started, so you opened in
February of 2020.
In May was Mother's Day. My sister-in-law bought me a quiche from your place. And I said, this is one of the best quiches I've ever had. And it was some kind of vegetarian. It was something like, because I'm just not a meat eater. It's not nothing with animals. We all know that. I just don't like meat. anyway, it was phenomenal. So what else do you guys have there?
So we have apple crisps, an individual as well as larger. We have a whole variety of breads, fresh made breads, cookies, scones, biscotti. Various flavors of everything. And you've got a tray over there. We tried to give you a little taste of everything.
We were doing so well.
It's January 15th. We had 14 days of not bad.
Next week's podcast needs to be on a treadmill. That's all. Right?
I mean,
so we'll
I'm not wearing
this
jeans
week.
Next week.
Right. Yeah, I should have worn sweatpants this week. Talking about being women in business and then in a small town here, you know, it might be easier to be in the city where, you know, there are sort of grants and things like that available to women in business. But this, you're in Westview area. So this is all completely organic, right? Or were you able to kind of pull some help for being women in business?
I was. Well, not really for being women in business.
Okay.
But I was fortunate enough to, I don't know if you've heard of Good Love and Cookie Shop.
Yes.
So Dee, who owns that, actually allowed me to rent kitchen space from her when I was first starting out. And she was a great resource for me. You know, so it's always helpful when you have, you know, someone who can kind of help show you the ropes a little bit, especially when it's another woman. So it worked out great. But yeah, I mean, we really haven't tapped into any specific resources with that. I think just at this time, I think just being a small business owner in itself, that's all you need.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and we always talk about, you know, it is everybody, you know, thinks it's great to own your own business, and it is, and we will all say that. But when you're up at midnight, you know, doing whatever you need to do, whether it's the books or whether it's the cakes or whatever it is, you're like, oh my gosh, but at least I'm up at midnight for ourselves. That's what we always say. And there's always that time if you do have something with a kid or a parent or something you have to go do in the middle of the day, you kind of go do that. You can't check out of your cubicle at UPMC, nothing against that, to go do that, right? Or at the bank where you were.
Am I allowed to answer?
Yeah.
I mean, I will definitely tell you, and I tell people this all the time. They're like, oh, do you love it? Is it great? I'm like, I tell you what, I've never worked harder.
Yeah,
I've never made less money, but I have never been happier. Mm-hmm. I've never been happier.
Yeah.
Just like I said, when you see people, we have a lot of regulars. They come in, and you know, we know who they are, and a lot of them are elderly. They, you know, they have families. Now we know part of their families too, because they've started coming in. They're like, oh yeah, my dad loves getting your cake here.
Right.
I mean, and we do cake by the slice too. So
yeah, I was going
to
say that.
You
don't
always have to just have a whole cake.
Mm-hmm. So I told you, he's going to be there.
And you know where it is. I can go to Westview and get pizza by the slice, right? And then go over there and get cake by the slice.
Be late for work.
And come to your house and drink your Jagoff beer. Holy smokes. This is amazing. No, this is totally cool.
I have a January and February birthday coming up. So don't worry, we'll be calling for that.
Yeah, and I might have a birthday too. I'm going to make up one.
Every day is a day for cake.
We have a Jagoff cake.
It might be just John Day. Yeah. I do recommend, though, that not that I'm some big business guru, but the book, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. You should read it because it would apply to you both exactly, you know, perfectly. So, all right.
Social media, where's everybody follow you? Because you're doing the jingle. Don't think you're getting
Oh.
See? Yeah.
I'm such a beast. I won't make you.
Of course, we have Instagram. We have Facebook. Yes. You know, it's at the Cakery. Mm-hmm. We have our website, which is thecakerypgh.com. So you can find us there. Or you can just walk in our door.
I love it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Jingle.
Thanks for having us.
Leave her alone.
Come on.
No, jingle. Go back and listen to the Bubbas.
That was not what I wanted to hear. All right. Question of the day. You guys heard it already. So I hope you have a better answer than what... Jeffrey Christopher had. So Pittsburgh.
Jeffrey.
So as we love to find places that to basically uncover gems or places like yours that people may not know about and talk about them. What Pittsburgh staple have you never visited? And I can't believe I've never been to .. Do you have one while they're thinking?
Well, I mean, last week's would have been one
that
for
place,
sure.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
But you're right. The biggest one I would have had would be Phipps.
Phipps, yeah.
I mean, I lived here my entire life and had never been there until she took me there for a podcast.
I do feel like, Christopher, though, I don't know of a place that is a staple that I've not at least been. Even though, like he said, it's been a while. I haven't been to the Carnegie Museums in a long time. Yeah. But I've been there, you know, that kind of thing. Do you guys have one?
Them all.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. You're like, stop talking.
So... I don't. Can I do the opposite?
Yeah,
you can. Like give you something. Like so, there's a place. It's in East Liberty. It's called Muddy Waters.
Okay,
it's an oyster bar. I had the most incredible bananas Foster bread pudding there.
There you go.
Ever had?
Okay,
so good.
So you understand that we need ideas for future podcasts. So you're helping us,
right? Amazing. And it's so laid back.
Okay,
so laid back. Okay. Like, there's an alligator head on the wall. Like it's.
Oh
it's,
wow!
It's a really cool
that's
place.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, very inventive. That's sticking in my brain.
Yeah.
But I would never even try to make it because it was that incredible.
It was that good.
Wow.
Okay.
I just want to go and enjoy it
with
someone else.
Yeah, there you go. There, fair enough. Christine, do you have one?
Yeah, so when we heard you ask the previous people that were here, we were like,
at least
where
you were listening.
We been?
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, there's a place in the Strip that I've been dying to try because I've heard great things about it. It's called Coupe de Ville.
Yes.
Ah, that's mine too then. That's a good one.
Yeah, and I have never been to Randyland. And I've always wanted to go to Randyland.
Girl, you don't even know who you're talking to.
She has another one. She's going for two.
I haven't.
What?
I haven't been there. Randyland.
Oh, Randyland.
Oh,
all right, listen.
Here we go. That's our spring trip. All right.
Let's get them there. Yeah. Let's get them there. Randy's
Deville
a great guy.
Lunch?
Yeah. Yes, we'll go with you. And I am challenging you. We have to come down and do a Jagging Around video and learn how to make something at the
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
please.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
You pick something.
Yes.
Like I said, we do. My son, he'll kill me for this one, but he makes all the cinnamon rolls. He does all the scones.
So good.
Okay.
And he says, I'm not a good teacher. I think he's a great teacher.
Okay.
But come down for a day.
Okay.
He'll teach you how to make them. You learn how to do all that.
Perfect. Nice. It's on.
Yep. I love it.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Oh, our pleasure.
More. So we're going to eat cake because right now we're going to play more music from Megan and Christopher.
So you can eat cake.
Yeah. That's what we're going to do on the podcast right now. And coming up, we're going to talk to another fellow podcaster.
Yeah. The guy who didn't bring us anything.
All right, so our next guest, our final guest, is Chris Hopper. Is it Christopher or Chris?
Chris.
All right, Chris. So, Chris, you have a podcast, and as Rachel said at the top of this podcast, we are in Ben Avon, you're in Bellevue, we had somebody from Westview, so we're kind of doing this tri-borough kind of thing here. So, first of all, before we even get into anything, talk about whatever cookie you're eating from delicious. The cakery.
This is absolutely amazing. Delicious. If there's a guy that should come on to be an expert on pastries, I'm telling you. I like to eat. So okay. Yeah. I'm not a great baker, per se, okay. But I'm a good eater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right. So
listen, this is the peanut butter chocolate chip she talked about. It's amazing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because there's people watching me, I'm not inhaling it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Make it seem like
we always get people like, tell that guy to stop eating on his microphone. Yeah. Right. So you have a podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
So I've really been doing my podcast since April. We started it then.
You're a post-COVID podcast.
Yeah, kind of.
You're like, I didn't get into COVID to watch Tiger King and create a podcast.
Well, I got that out of the way in about 2 days, okay. And then I needed something to do.
All right.
But I originally started with my brother and my cousin back in like 2013 when we were in school. And then, you know, life happened. We got in the way, and you know.
Sure.
And then I, you know, with COVID and everything, I was like, you know what? Why not do this with some other people I know? And then I just invite some guests on each week, usually comedians or something.
Yeah.
Usually people I just want to talk to.
Okay.
And just want to have a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't really have a conversation with me probably if I didn't have them on. So let's have people I think are interesting that I want to learn something from. I have photographers. I have, you know, Tony Moreno who ran for mayor. I had him on.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, a lot of comedians and stuff. But people that I just want to talk to and I think are interesting.
We have so many similarities because, you know, John's son is a comedian. Actually, kind of famous now. I'm so proud of our Colin.
I didn't know that was his son.
Yeah, Colin Chamberlain is number two. I have to plug that, right? Colin is number two on the iTunes charts for the last week for his new album that he recorded here at the Improv. He lives in New York, but he was just in, and it was great seeing him. And last night, we actually saw Reza Wadney, and who actually works with us as well, and he's phenomenal. It was great seeing what he's done to his craft. Joey Welsh, who's a Pittsburgh firefighter and has done amazing things. And we saw Ian Bags.
Bags.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I did not know who he was,
and
we left like complete fans. So, so we love the industry as well. So lots of similarities. But what I think really intrigued me to reach out to you was your effort.
Okay.
Because, and here's why. And I think you can relate to that. So, you know, we often get, you're the longest running podcaster. Oh, your podcast has longevity.
Yeah.
That just means we're old. But ultimately, you understand that it takes more than just showing up with microphones.
Yeah.
Then, you know, this didn't just happen, you know, organically. I love that at our Team Pittsburgh deck hockey, you had your flyer up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I took it down. But did you like that?
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding.
Oh, no.
No, but I'll tell you a funny story. My husband goes, Rach, somebody
there was a typo
hung,
on that paper.
Somebody hung this thing, and I was like, he said he's Pittsburgh's best podcast. He said, I'm taking it down. I said, leave it up.
Yeah.
I am so impressed with the fact that you did that because so many people go, I started a podcast and it's just not working. Hey, how did you monetize it?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not how it works. You have to put the effort in.
I'm almost a year in and I haven't even like hardly thought. I'm just trying to get exposure, try to talk to people and network. And I just try anything. Like, I have no background in any of this.
Okay.
So I just look to see people who are successful, and I try to surround myself with them and
that's
learn
it.
From them, and I watch YouTube or something. Like, I don't know how to do anything. And then I have a whole studio that I'll set up every week and then tear down. And then if I'm not doing that, I'm talking to guests or trying to get a guest to come on or, you know, putting out shirts or putting out flyers. And I'm the one who goes around and does it. So if you found it, then it's probably me.
I love it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what gains someone's respect because you're doing it.
I appreciate out there. You noticing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're doing it. You're doing it because you want to do it versus making money, right?
There you go.
And that's what people told bloggers many years ago. Don't blog because you want to make money. Blog because you have a passion for it. Podcast because you have a passion for it.
Yeah.
All good things will follow after that. And I love the fact that you key on comedians, local comedians. So do you
have to put in a good word with Colin for him?
Yeah.
Don't worry.
He'll do it. Yeah, yeah.
That's so weird. I did reach out to him like not even a week ago.
Well, and he said, I talked to him this morning.
He didn't answer you?
He did.
I talked to him. He says, I'm going to go do that guy's podcast. I said, But
he said it was the best one in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
After his dad.
Trust me. Trust me. He would believe that,
my
too.
My son would say the same thing about you.
The thing that you have a lot of comedians on, so I'm kind of curious, was stand-up comedy something you'd liked? and just never approached it? That's a good question. Or no, you just like stand-up comedy and want to know these guys and ladies.
So yeah, so when I graduated high school, when I was started in college, I started running and trying to get in shape and stuff. And I would go on distance runs, and I'd listen to podcasts and, you know, comedy specials and stuff. And I always liked stand-up and stuff. You know, growing up, my mom was a big fan, and I'd watch that. And I, you know, I'd always enjoy making somebody laugh. Like, that was always the best thing for me.
Okay.
So, like, doing that, and then I'd listen to it. And then as I'm getting older and stuff, I'm like, you know what? I think that the difference between certain people who succeed and don't are just like you made the effort to try to do something.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so many people don't do that. Yep. Like if it doesn't succeed, then it is what it is. At least I talked to somebody and I learned something from
yes,
it. And
exactly.
I didn't waste my time, I don't think.
No. Yeah. And you know, again, I noticed that and beyond the fact that you're putting flyers and that you see the effort, you're constantly like now again, because Mark Helbling is a friend of ours, mm-hmm. as we talked about, I'm seeing it pop up more and more, whether it's just in that Bellevue realm, you know, how the algorithms work. Right. But essentially it's more and more. So if I'm noticing it, other people are noticing it.
Well, I try to get out. Bellevue has been very nice to me. I grew up in like Point Breeze.
Okay. Love Point Breeze. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I moved out to Beaver, and then I just moved back to Bellevue probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
And
what do you think about Bellevue?
Talk I like
about
Bellevue that. A yeah. lot. I like this. I never knew it existed because I would go from Pittsburgh to Beaver and go on 65,
and
I'd
right
see
there.
The Bellevue sign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the live, worship,
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. eat or yeah. something like that. Shop. No, that's what it is. Shop.
It is, though. It's
live, worship,
that
eat.
Probably, is that?
Yeah.
No, it
I
is.
Just add that in there. But yeah.
I think it is.
Well done. I hope it
I think you should can that and like, sell that to them.
Yeah.
It's there. Do you know where
I think I put Eat, oh, Pray, okay, Worship, and Bellevue
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
Made some kind of hybrid. But yeah. I always thought like that kind of was Bellevue, and then I drove up the hill. I was like, "Oh my God, there's restaurants up here. There's all these restaurants are great, and there's a million churches I didn't know. The
yeah.
architecture and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that's one thing. Like I like doing photographers come on because I like kind of looking at the world differently with
sure.
photographers to give you like I guess a different appreciation.
Yeah,
and I like having them on. Just the architecture around here, and like I'm really dressed right up the street, and everybody around here has been so friendly and helpful with whatever.
That's great.
Yeah,
he had Chancellor on. Did you know?
Oh,
that?
Is that right? Yeah,
yeah.
He's another guy. He's like, oh, I'm right around the corner.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he just moved here though, but he did my son's senior pictures.
I mean,
so there you are. Like he's this his shtick with you know the man on the street stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
But then you see that he does like senior photos. Like
yeah.
I didn't want the typical
yeah.
pose like this. You know, he got him like in downtown Pittsburgh
yeah.
like, in an alley.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, wow, that
he,
just
he
looks
is
so
one
different.
Of the most talented guys.
No
I'm
question.
Seeing.
Yeah.
When he came on, I was beyond surprised because I had some guests on, but they were more like, here's the bartender that I know.
Yeah.
Like when you start, so like, you're okay. That's cool. I mean, it's interesting if you listen to it, but like, nobody's tuning in for that guy.
But out of the common yeah. man thing, you know, the common man hero thing, right?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
you know, your post office delivery person
yeah.
is a hero to you, and they're bringing you checks and
yeah,
cookies
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff, right? So, and they have a story. Somehow they became.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can make anything interesting.
Right.
But he was one of like the first people that wasn't like I knew beforehand. And he said he'd come on if I brought one of his friends on, too, Marcus Cox, who's a comedian who's
oh,
hilarious.
Oh, yeah, we've had him.
Who
love
is
Marcus.
Great. I'm glad
love him,
he,
yeah.
he's been one of the most supportive. And Ann Casper came on. She won an Emmy for Chances Keep Pittsburgh Dope
yes.
Short.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. And they all came on, and that was – it's like surreal. Just like mm-hmm. 2 months ago, I was sitting here with a computer, and I was like, I should buy some lights. And now I have people that I don't know who I'm really impressed with in my house. Or wherever I'm doing the show.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool and I'm excited.
What's
to see
the part
where it
about
goes.
Podcasting you weren't expecting?
I think the part that I struggle with now, I'm trying to do more video and it takes me so long to edit. Like, I didn't know how long editing would be. Some of the behind the scenes things, like posting things the way that I want to do it, because I'm very particular with things. And, the way I post to Instagram and it posts differently to Facebook and then I have to alter everything.
Yes, right.
So like just doing that. But I also love like the networking with everybody. it's kind of something I didn't expect to like, but
sure.
I do.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm not really like a go out and be around people.
Here we
people.
Go, John. John's like, yeah. I'd be sitting in the corner if we. Did. He's like, right, yeah,
it's a fact. It's
but
a fact.
If you make me be hey, in so, front of people, I'll talk. But yeah. Then I'm like, okay, then I'm gonna go stand over yeah. here again.
But you seem like naturally. I think if anybody,
I'm a fake.
No, I think if anybody wanted to know anything about how to podcast, you know, there's technical stuff. There's yeah. microphones, wires, headphones, editing, but. The one thing they have to be a good poster, I would think, a podcaster, I would think, is inquisitive.
Yeah.
If you're not inquisitive and interested in other things, you're going to fail. If you're on,
yeah. or unless, not interested,
I mean, unless you're a person who has so much content that you're just going to get.
If
on
you and, ask people that know me, I am too inquisitive, and I ask questions that are annoying. Like I just asked her a second ago, and I was like, "That oboe, that's the duck in Peter and the Wolf, right?" And
listen, we should podcast together.
Yeah. But it's like
I just got
it'd be 8 hours long.
I just got
yeah,
fired.
It's bad. And I get people's names right. I don't want to brag.
Oh, he
doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
He just put
especially
in
when three of the guests have the same name.
Right. Right. Two
you
could have
just said Chris and you would have been right 60%
what?
Of the time.
Wait, what did he say? Wait, what did he say?
Two of your guests have the same name. It's so true. Listen, let me tell you a story.
Well, the sad part is that yeah. I actually put the show notes together yeah. today, so I'm the one who typed his name yeah. in there. I should have known better. Yeah. And there's not even a Jeffrey yeah. in the neighborhood right yeah. now, as far as we know. But I go, Jeffrey. Yeah. And he was so sweet. He answered. He didn't go, hey, knucklehead.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Rachel came over yeah. and her whispering voice oh, said, yeah. his name is not Jeffrey.
Anyway, Chris.
To be fair for her, it kind of was a whisper, right?
Thank you.
It was slightly
he
lower.
Me. This is what's
she
happening.
Will never yeah. be in the CAA.
It was like the giant
ever.
Bell versus the smaller
bell. There you go. So what was your day job, or what do you do?
I work in a restaurant. I bartend, cook, and do okay. everything there.
Okay.
That's like a natural podcasting job because you're yeah, hearing all of the and you're facilitating yeah. all the stories, right?
And you find out in real time how little people care about some of the things you have to say. So I try things out on people and I learn pretty fast and nobody cares isn't about my scallop humor or like whatever the fresh catches. Listen,
I yeah. love him. Scallops are my favorite food. Oh, you're hitting all the right spots, yeah. bro.
Well, we have Scallops Oscar out there with the crab meat and the holiday. Oh my God.
Where is it? You know,
it's called
say.
The Wooden Angel in
oh.
Beaver.
Oh, yeah.
I've never
yeah.
been there.
It's actually a pretty nice place.
I have.
There's a bunch of degenerates that work
we
there, apparently.
We used to get food
but, yeah.
from there all the time at the Medic Rescue Ambulance Base.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah that's right
How about
down there.
That?
Look at John.
Yeah.
He's on his way in. Oh, I have a no, connection.
No, no. I'm on my way out. I'm taking this cake and running because I know I'm out of a job, and I'm going to have to eat the cake for the next month until I find a job.
What is your next goal as far as the podcast? What are you looking for next? Like, I love the fact that you're wanting different guests, that kind of yeah. thing. We love the fact that you found that sector with comedy. What else? Like, what are you at that point where you're saying, how does it continue to go?
I would like to eventually maybe do some like a show with some comedians on and do it live, do like a live show. But I kind of don't know how to do that and have people pay attention at the same time. I'm kind of working it out. I don't want to rush things because I feel like I'm moving quickly with certain things. And I don't want to do things before I'm ready and blow something.
Are you at that point where you're saying, how does it continue to go?
I would like to eventually maybe do some like a show with some comedians on and do it live, do like a live show. But I kind of don't know how to do that and have people pay attention at the same time. I'm kind of working it out. I don't want to rush things because I feel like I'm moving quickly with certain things. And I don't want to do things before I'm ready and blow something.
Are you at that point where you're saying, how does it continue to go?
I would like to eventually maybe do some like a show with some comedians on and do it live, do like a live show. But I kind of don't know how to do that and have people pay attention at the same time. I'm kind of working it out. I don't want to rush things because I feel like I'm moving quickly with certain things, and I don't want to do things before I'm ready and blow something.
Are you at that point where you're saying, how does it continue to go?
I would like to eventually maybe do some like a show with some comedians on and do it live, do like a live show. But I kind of don't know how to do that and have people pay attention at the same time. I'm kind of working it out. I don't want to rush things because I feel like I'm moving quickly with certain things, and I don't want to do things before I'm ready and blow something.
Are you at that point where you're saying, how does it continue to go?
I would like to eventually maybe do some like a show with some comedians on and do it live, do like a live show. But I on Mondays, that has usually a comedian or kind of a comic theme.
Yep.
And then I do a sports show, too.
Yeah.
That we do a local one. Mm-hmm. I have a guy, sports guy, JP, who is like a sports nerd and knows all the stuff.
Yeah.
And knows the odds and stuff. And he's really knowledgeable. Like, he blows me away with how much he knows. And then I usually sit there and, say something stupid. And then he has all the stats and talks for 20 minutes. So.
Well, that Ian, who we heard last night, has a hockey podcast from what I understand. Okay. So maybe check that out. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what my husband told me. And Collins is actually very good. Hell Gigs.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Podcast. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How about that? Look at me plugging Collins. He doesn't listen, so it's not like...
We appreciate you coming to do this today, and we were surprised with cake, so there's even better than
that. I know.
Even better, but we think you should take a music lesson is what we think. A singing
Gosh,
lesson.
This place is fabulous.
Yeah.
I've realized... I'm more of a stage presence front man than a vocal front man. Yeah. I'm kind of like an 80s punk front man versus like Freddie Mercury, Robert Plant kind of vocal.
You're
going to
Linda McCartney and just have your microphone there and not have it on, right?
Well,
you're
that's what I would do. I think if I was a singer, I'd also have a guitar, but I would never play it and I'd never address it.
What? You always have a need for roadies.
Oh, there you go.
I love when our hosts come back in. That's what they do now.
All right.
Before we ask you the question of the day, where does everybody find you and listen to your podcast?
They can go through my Instagram or Facebook or any of the social media ones. I have my link tree on there. I try to make it so if you find me on anything, you can find me on everything. But Instagram is probably the best, or Facebook. Poor Man's Podcast. Poor Man's Podcast 412.
Awesome. And how often do you release podcasts? Is it weekly?
We record the audio Monday night, and then I release the audio probably 4 hours later. I get it all done fast.
But weekly?
Yes, weekly. Okay, and then I'm trying to do video now and have that out each week.
Awesome.
Chris,
we're so glad you could come in.
Yeah,
seriously.
Thank you.
I mean, you were on our radar. I know I messaged you through social, God, it was like fall.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that we were able to get
We want to do a podcasting thing. Like, we all go to Kennywood and podcast someday.
I would
we will invite you
that.
To that.
Please, come on our show sometime.
Oh, just let us know.
I feel like we're not interesting enough.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me.
All right. He did say that earlier. I thought you were going to pick up on that. He said, I invite people that I'm interested in.
John, it was right here.
I was saving it. I just needed to build up the anticipation. So it paid off at the end.
No, and seriously, I don't mean to sound like I tend to mother people, and I don't mean to, but I really, really appreciated your effort, and I've listened, and I think it's great, and I wish you nothing but the best, and however we can be helpful.
That's way different than the mothering she does when she's driving.
That's way different than my mom, too. Yes, thank you.
All right, question of the day. I'm done. Yes. I'm a nice person, and John has been done nothing but pick on me. Pittsburgh staple. You've heard the question, Chris, and I'm so sick of asking. I thought it was an easy question. None of these people can answer it right.
Okay.
Pittsburgh staple in which you've never
visited.
I'll
talk for 30 minutes to make up for the rest.
Okay, there you go.
to get on the point with everybody else, I've never been on the incline.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not, I didn't move here from out of state or anything.
Right.
I've lived in Pittsburgh my entire life. I'm 31. I've never been on the incline. I've never really been close to the incline, I don't think.
Wow.
But I've only been to Primanti's once.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll talk about Primanti.
Yeah.
We work with them a lot, and I love it, but I don't love it.
I know what
does.
That means.
Yeah. You got it.
And which, sorry to interrupt, but with the Steelers just winning, Chris Boswell hit that kick, and anyone named Chris got a free sandwich.
Yep. Did you go? You didn't
I
go.
I didn't.
Oh.
I was going to say, was that your one time?
Because
your name
was
Jeffrey.
I'd rather pay for the sandwich than wait in line and be like, my name's Chris.
But it was Clev.
Yeah, no. Cliff?
It was Clev.
Oh.
I'm going through this 45-year-old thing where I shorten. My kids are like, I don't know what you're saying. I'm like, it was Clev. Instead of Clever, because I couldn't finish the sentence. I mean, it was a clever thing, but
No, you saved a lot of time, definitely, by saying Clev and then explaining what you meant. Clever, we would have just been done, but Clev, we're at minute 3 now.
All right, looks like the musicians are ready.
We're going to wrap up this podcast. Appreciate y'all watching. Make sure you follow us on Monday because we have a beer growler contest happening.
Yeah.
And we're announcing that on Monday. 10 beer growlers, 64-ounce beer growlers from the Yinz Lids, and North Country Brewing is going to fill it full of what? Ya Jagoff beer.
You should see these growlers. And we'll tell you all the locations in which we're residing. And as always, thank you so much to Colin. Thank you so much to Tracy. Thanks to our guests. And I think they're all named Chris. There may be an Amber in there from the Cakery, Christine from the Cakery, Megan for coming on talking some clarinet stuff, and thanks as always to Roraconda, who has a tracking process in which you receive your vehicle in a timely manner. Once the perfect CRV, HRV, or other vehicle is selected and ordered, the reliable rep will continuously track its whereabouts to keep you updated. If that isn't elite customer service, what is? Visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.